Good morning, brothers and sisters. If the snow didn't challenge us a little bit yesterday and this morning, then we had to change our clocks in the middle of it. But I'm glad to see you. And as Casey has said, thank you too for joining us on Facebook Live. If you've got your Bibles, we're going straight to John chapter 11. And you know the story, but I'm going to recall just a small portion of it anyway. John chapter 11, Memorial Stones, part 6. I'll give you a minute to turn there in case you've got your Bible. It will be on the big screen if you don't. John 11 is this story about this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I'm just going to read 4 verses up front and then some verses towards the end. And then I'll make my point. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha's sisters, Lazarus is their brother, Lazarus is sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, that's Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. I think you know the setting. Jesus has been, his life has been threatened here by the religious elite, so he's not around Jerusalem at this time. He's away a few miles. There in Bethany, a couple of miles from Jerusalem, Jesus is away a bunch of miles until his time, which is coming up very quickly, when he will eventually go to the cross. So he isn't in the immediate vicinity. He knows his family very well. He's been in their home before. He will be in their home again before the cross. The sisters know enough about Jesus that they know if they get word to him, they've seen enough, they've heard enough. If they get word to Jesus, then he'll come and touch their brother and he'll be well. They knew that much. And so they sent word and said, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus got the message, the Bible says, when Jesus heard that, he said to those around him, which would be the disciples that were away with him, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. There's a lot more in that story in between verse 5 and 37, a lot more, including a couple of the most powerful verses, I believe, in Scripture, John 11, 25 and 26. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to jump towards the end. Lazarus dies. You know the story. Jesus intentionally delayed where he was. That's in the story when you read it. While they're away, Lazarus died. They put him in the grave. Jesus has conversation with both sisters and eventually says to them, show me where you've laid him. Verse 38, then Jesus, he's now at the entrance of the grave, the cave, if you will. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by now, by this time, there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus simply said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died, Lazarus, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." I love the power of this story. When you read all of it in John 11, this is a story about death and life and resurrection and hope. There's a lot more to the story. If you haven't read it, I hope that you will. And you might be wondering why this story in Memorial Stone 6. Two reasons. One, to remind us God has done great things in the Old Testament and the New. Amen? I just happen to be reading in my devotionals in the 1st and 2nd Kings right now, and I'm reminded of Elijah and Elisha and the miracles that God did to those. Is just incredible. So point number one, to remind us that God has done miracles in the Bible. We know that. We've seen them, we've read them, we've talked about them. Point number two, we serve the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. Are you hearing me this morning? We serve the same God. He has not changed. His authority over even the dead has not changed. The same Jesus that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who gives sight to the blind, who healed quadriplegics, who healed paraplegics, the same Jesus who cleansed lepers, who fed 5,000, who fed 4,000, the same Jesus did all of that and more, is the same one that we serve today. The Bible says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same one we serve today. Now, I know that you know that. But I say that because sometimes I fear we're like Martha. We will trust him to a certain degree. We will trust him to a certain level. And after that, he's probably not, we don't really understand or trust him as God. You say, "Jim, what do we mean?" Look at what she said at the entrance to the grave. Humanly speaking, she thought about him. She said, "We're going to send a message to him. We're going to try to get Jesus back here. We're going to try to get my brother well. But now that he's dead, well, he's dead. I'm not sure he can do anything about that." You see what I'm saying? We trust him to a certain level, as Martha did, and now when he gets to the entrance of the grave, he said, but Lord, he probably stinks by now. She trusted him when the brother was alive. She wasn't sure he could do anything when he was dead. And I wonder sometimes if we're the same. We think, "God, you can probably do this, but I don't think you can do that." As the stories of salvation, I talked about a salvation message two parts back when I talked about Robert being in jail. And as the stories of salvation, I could tell stories of God's healing right here. I could tell you a few. Kevin isn't with us today, but Kevin Flansburgh often sits right back there. And a while back, Kevin told us he had cancer, didn't look good. Now Kevin does not. Glory to God. Tony Dumprope sits here with us this morning. One time the doctors told him he had lung cancer, said it didn't look good. Now Tony does not. All glory to God. There's other stories of miracles that I could tell you about the healing hand of God. I shall tell you one. It was late January 2016. Catherine, our youngest granddaughter, had just turned one. We just celebrated it in our home. A couple of Sundays later, Jess and Tim arrived on Sunday morning, as they all always do, and Jess took up residence right over here in the back row, cradling Catherine. She was sick. We could see it. She had a fever, and the first thing I noticed was a noticeable swelling and sore on her lip and face. I thought maybe she had fallen down the steps, because at 1 year old, she was already walking all about. And I asked her mother as much, who held her cradling in her arms because she was sick. I said, "What's happened? Did she fall down the steps?" No, she didn't fall down the steps. Later that day, Tim and Jessica could see she was sick, and they took her to the emergency room over here. One of our nurses, Paula, was there. She remembers the day like I do. Long story longer, the doctors and nurses there did some blood work and decided her numbers were out of whack. They said she should go to the Minneapolis Children's Hospital for checking. She may have leukemia. So they arranged for an ambulance. We prayed over her. They got on the ambulance, and they took off from Minneapolis Children's Hospital. A few days later, it was February 10th, 2016, Jessica posted on her Facebook page that they had the news. Catherine had AML, acute myeloid leukemia. They said she would need, excuse me, 4 rounds of chemo. Then probably, based on how that transpired, a bone marrow transplant. And no one knew it at that point. Yeah, that reminds me of that day. No one knew it at that point, but Catherine and Jessica would spend the most of the next 9 months on the 7th floor of the Minneapolis Children's Hospital, and then to St. Paul Children's Hospital, connected to the University of Minnesota, and finally to the Ronald McDonald's House before she would ever come home again. There's hundreds of details in this story, excuse me, of a very difficult journey with chemo, sicknesses, tubes, doctors, nurses, locked away in a room for months on that floor, and then another hospital for months. It was hard for Catherine. She didn't understand that very well. She wasn't very big, as you can see. It was hard for Jessica as she lived it out with the doctors and the nurses and the chemo and the medicines and the side effects. And month after month of the journey, it was hard for Tim, who tried to maintain a job over here in Brainerd during the week and try to go to see Catherine and be with Jess on weekends. It was hard for the other three. Back here with Grandpa and Grandma, both Judds and Johnsons. No mom during the week, and most weekends not with her dad until he came home again. It was hard for Clara when she gave her little sister her bone marrow in an effort to save her life. It was hard for us back here in the church who prayed endlessly and wondered if she would ever make it through. It was hard that summer not to have our vacation Bible school director and our worship leader and our sound tech person for months, but it was good for the church for others to step up and take those roles. Jessica posted dozens and perhaps hundreds of posts in those months on Caring Bridge, keeping the rest of us, the rest of the world, updated. And hundreds of us called upon God for healing and strength, posting scriptures and taking us through the journey with them. People prayed all over the upper Midwest. We still encounter people, and praise God for you, that said we prayed for her in that journey. Somebody told me that just last week at a funeral. Each week, grandpas, either Judd's or Johnson's, would try to take the three children down to see their little sister and their mother and spend a little time there. We never doubted God. We always trusted Him to do whatever He chose to do. And we committed early on to keep trusting Him no matter what, even if the outcome didn't turn out the way we prayed for. There was a lot of times in that summer when I wondered what I would say at a memorial service for my own granddaughter. Maybe that's lack of faith. Maybe it's like Martha. But I thought it anyway. By God's enabling grace and a long plan by the doctors and the professionals there in those hospitals, after four rounds of chemo and a bone marrow transplant from Clara, her sister, and nearly 9 months away from home, she and Mom came home with blood numbers that looked pretty normal. The church family was excited to see her back. She didn't have any hair, but we were glad to have her back. We were thankful to have her as a family for the holidays and birthday number two, which we didn't know that would ever come after birthday number one. All seemed to be well through the holidays and birthday number two. All seemed to be well that winter. For 6 months, and she got sick again. They took her back to the doctor, and they knew something was wrong. They advised she go back to Children's Hospital in Minneapolis, and upon testing her in Children's Hospital in Minneapolis, they discovered the leukemia was in her spine. The numbers were completely out of whack. Sherry and I were home that afternoon when Jessica called. I happened to be out mowing the lawn. Sherry was watching the children. The phone rang and Sherry brought it out to me. I was sitting on the tractor. I shut it off and it was Jessica. I remember the words vividly. She said, "Dad, it's back." We both tried to keep from crying. We spoke to one another a bit, and knowing that Grandma and I and the rest would be going back in a few days, we hung up and said we'll be there in a day or two. Sherry and I were in the yard because, like I said, I'd been mowing the lawn. Sherry had two or three of our other grandchildren with, and we cried when we heard that news. And Sherry and I gathered our hands and our grandkids that were there, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for giving us 6 months. We're real thankful for that." Because for 6 months she was well. And we once again, as we had done perhaps hundreds of times, we said, "Lord, we commit her to you. We don't know the future, but we commit her to you." And many in our church family and many others went back to praying. A couple days later, Sherry and I went back to join Tim and Jessica because we knew there was going to be a meeting with the doctors, with the professionals, the ones that were able to give direction. And so I kept the other three children, her older siblings, in one area, and Jessica, Tim, and Sherry went to the meeting to learn what was next. During the meeting, they found there was some options. One of those options was simply take her home and keep her comfortable. She was pretty sick. I've heard that plenty of times in the ministry. I know what that means. Another option would be try some rounds of chemo and see what they did. See if they bring the numbers back in line. Another option would be perhaps after the chemo, get some bone or some blood numbers back in line, maybe another bone marrow transplant. But for children her age, she was now two, for children her age, the survival rate of the second bone marrow transplant was about 2 in 10. The other 8 didn't make it. And so with the bone marrow transplant and thrown into that mix a full body radiation, that was the other option. Head to toe on a 2-year-old, radiate top to bottom. It was decided to try some chemo and see what happened. Tim's parents, Sherry and I, the church, and hundreds of others continued to pray and lift her up to the Lord. Asking for healing, of course, but asking for His will to be done. None of us wanted to see her suffer. Jess and Tim were at the hospitals this second round. One of the things that we became convinced of in this round two of the journey, chemo number 5, one of the things that we became keenly convinced of, Sherry and I, Jess and Tim, Alan and Shirley, and perhaps more, that if God was going to heal her, He don't need chemo to do it. And He wouldn't need bone marrow either. But if He wasn't, we were reminded again, you can see the daily visual there. We were reminded again, if He wasn't going to heal her, and we knew He could, then we realized this process was killing her. But the plan was to still to try, do some chemo, and so round 5 commenced. Chemo was in fact bringing the blood numbers back in line, but it was torturous to that little body. After round five, Tim and Jess saw that it was what it was doing to her body, but the numbers were beginning to come back into line a little bit, coming back towards normal. And when round five was over, seeing how terribly difficult it was for her to endure that, they made the decision to bring Catherine home and let God be God. Either he would heal her or he would not. Her life was in his hands, as all of ours is. The doctors had their plans, and we appreciate that. But there comes a time, as Jessica posted in many of her posts, there comes a time when we must understand, if he is still the God that raised Lazarus from the dead, and the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we're going to trust him today for doing the same thing, if he will. And she posted, because the doctors have their plans, and we understand that. We appreciate that. But Jess posted that day, God does not operate by the doctor's textbooks. Amen? He's bigger than their textbooks. No disrespect intended to you nurses and doctors. He's bigger than their plans. She came home the second time. People continued to pray for her health and strength, and Pastor Salek, who was here from Pakistan that summer, stopped at Tim and Jessica's place. Pastor Salek, like he does hundreds of people in Pakistan, laid hands on her and prayed. And somewhere in that journey of saying, we're taking her home and allowing God to be God, and the prayers of the multitude of the saints, somewhere in that journey, it's like Jesus said, Catherine, come forth. And he healed her. She sits here today, 6 years later, well, glory to God. People ask us sometimes, what about her checkups? We don't know, never took her back. We've committed her to the Lord. I was asking the last month, what do the doctors say? Don't know, they never asked. They never followed up. We don't fault the doctors for not checking up. They had their plans. Jess and Tim decided to bring her home and let God be God. So my point today, friends, in Memorial Stone 6, the same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same one we serve today. And sometimes his plans may be outside the scope of the plans of doctors or ours. But I want to remind us, as I have in this journey called Memorial Stones, may we not, and I'm not faulting Martha, we've done it. I've been there. I was the one thinking what I had to say at a funeral. I've been there. But I want us to be mindful. The God that parted the Red Sea and stopped the Jordan and told Joshua, get them rocks and don't forget what I've done. The one that raised Lazarus from the dead. The one that did all of that is the one we serve today. And when he chooses to heal somebody, he will heal them. And I want to remind us today to not be like Martha. Okay, we've gotten this far down the road. I'm not sure he can do anymore. Don't be like that. I've been there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me say this too before I close. I know people have lost loved ones, and I'm sorry about that. I know that. I know very well. I've done a lot of funerals. I know people have lost loved ones to cancers and COVIDs and everything else. I know that, and I'm sorry. But may we keep trusting him. As Casey said, we did a funeral here yesterday. We actually did two of them. I did one here, and Casey did went and attended a family at the funeral home. And as I told the family yesterday, and I told them last week in their home, when they lost their 48-year-old husband, who seemed perfectly healthy, had been on the cruise, got back off the cruise, out of Mexico, off the ship, and died. And I tried to impress upon them and explain to them a week ago when I was with them and yesterday, when these things happen, we've got to trust the Lord anyway. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. We lose people. But never discount who Jesus is, who called for Lazarus and out of the grave the dead man came. Never discount the power of God. Never discount the Son of God. When he called forth one, he's called forth multitudes more. Never be like Martha and say, okay, well, in her mind, I think this is too late now, God. I don't think anything's going to happen now. Let us never be like that. Jess is going to end today in that song that we listened to hundreds of times that summer. This song is called Even If. Listen closely to the words. Do we have the words they can see? Look closely at the words. And I hope that you can apply these words when the difficulties in your life strike too.
I'm like, I'm missing my praise team. Somebody's got to come join me here. I was so glad Dad chose John 11:4 because that is the verse very specifically that the Lord gave me in February of 2016. And it was good at that time. It was so good because I clung to that through all of 2016 in complete peace and faith and thought, whatever your will is, God, we want that for our lives and we want to see you glorified. And there was complete peace for us. And it was good. When it came back the second year, that's where this song kind of comes in, because all of a sudden it's like panic. I sat in hospital rooms months after months watching other families go through this, some make it, some not. And I saw children that got this again and again. That wasn't good. That outcome was not going to be good. And so it brought a lot of fear upon us that second time around. The peace wasn't necessarily still there. And so this song, Even If, I heard one day, and there were several times since hearing it, because it felt exactly like where I was at in life, sitting in a hospital room again for the second year with my daughter and watching her this time be very much sicker. Because the first time through, God just brought her through so good. She looked so good the whole time. This time she was sick. She looked not good. She wasn't getting out of bed. She didn't get out of bed for like 3 weeks. And so this song is just a reminder to me, and I pray then to you, of God's faithfulness. When it gets to the bridge about his faithfulness, he is good all our days. And Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may. Because in that moment, we didn't know what the future held. And it's not that I had given up on the promise that he'd given me the year before. I still was praying that. I still had people praying that. Bless your hearts, many of you were praying that for me. But it became difficult. And so that's where this song comes in. And yet, at the end of it, it says, "It is well with my soul."
Don't know what you're going through today, but he's able to walk with you, whatever it is. And so I'm asking you to keep trusting, keep hanging on, because when you really know that peace that Jesus, only Jesus can give, we can say it is well, even when disaster strikes. It is well in here. I hope you know him and will trust him to that level, regardless of what life throws at you. I'm going to pray, and then I want you to know Barb has said she's going to place the goodies back out today. If you'd like to slip up there for sandwich, salad, bars, they're there. If you'd like to, feel free to do that. And so let's close in prayer. Father, you have walked with us through many a mile, and you have blessed, you have saved, you have forgiven, you have healed. You have parted the waters. You have stopped the Jordan. You have given sight to the blind. You have rescued the perishing. You have strengthened the weary. You have forgiven our sin. Father God, may we never forget your goodness. May we never minimize you. Maybe all of us have, like I have done, like Martha might have done that day with Jesus at the entrance of her brother's tomb. May we never minimize your capability, your power, and your goodness. Forgive us, forgive me when I have. As we go forward, Father, this day, this week, and into this journey we call life, may we trust you no matter what. There are people, Father, you know this better than I do, clinging to life in hospitals and places right now. There are people who will not make the week. Some are healthy, some are not, but they won't make the week. And once again, many people will cross many difficult bridges. I pray that every one of us would keep trusting you, even if it didn't turn out the way we wanted, even if it seems like our prayers weren't answered. I pray you will help us, oh God, by your Spirit, keep trusting you, even if thank you, Lord, for being so good. Please grant safety to everyone traveling today, these that are seated here, to even get home, and other travel. Please grant us guidance by your Spirit this week. May you be glorified in your church, O God. And may we say, as Jesus said that day so long ago, this sickness isn't unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified through it. May we say, even when difficulties come, that you, O God, might be glorified. I pray this and all things in the name of Jesus. Amen.